The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Moshe Hillel Kaufman.
Baruch haba, we're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simen Samech Vav, Hilchas Iska. Sifim Zion through Yud Beis. Sif Zion. In Mashad Chuka, if time is tight, and they can't write down the Shtai Iska right now, the transaction is happening on the fly, they have to take care of it this moment, they don't have time to write up ahead the Iska. So Yechaylin Lahasna is Kol Advarim Aniz Kol El Baal Peh. So this whole Iska arrangement, as we read the Shtar the other day, that whole arrangement could be done Baal Peh. We could do a verbal agreement as to all the terms and conditions, and that could suffice, and later on we'll get it in writing, that's okay. Of course, we're dealing with someone that we believe will keep to the terms and conditions, as we'll see later today. Sifches. If you're going to give money early for merchandise that's going to be delivered at a later date, you have to write a shtar hatiska to cover that. We learned the other day that if, let's say, you're ordering 100 pounds of flour today, and you pay for it and you give the money today, and the delivery of the flour is going to be 2 months from now, and you're supposed to get delivered 100 pounds in 2 months, now that's a problem of ribis, because what could be, what the potential to happen is that if the price of flour goes up from $1 a pound to $1.50, so when you give the seller now $100 for the 100 pounds, you're basically lending him $100 so that he'll give you $100 worth of flour in 2 months. But if that flour, those 100 pounds that you ordered, is worth $1.50 in 2 months, so you're giving him $100 because you're paying before the merchandise was delivered, which is before the time you're supposed to pay, and now he's giving you back $150, that would be ribbis. And we brought down that there are certain hetayim, there's a heter of yeshlo, that if the seller already has some flour, then he can make that arrangement. And we also mentioned that if the market price is stabilized, and a person can get flour for $1 a pound easily, it's a stable price out there, so then that's also not a ribbis issue. But sometimes we don't have those attempts, so therefore a heta iska should be written. Let's read the language of the heta iska. Maidani chasa mata, I the undersigned agree, shekibalti meis rav Ruvain Weinstock, the Ungvar, that I received from Ruvain Weinstock from Ungvar, sach mei zehuvim, 100 coins, 100 gold pieces. This asik b'mois elu b'machine shani machzik b'kfar zon, that I should do business with a certain machine that I have in the village of Zon. Ad roish chaydish nisan abo leinu l'toiva, until roish chaydish nisan. Ve'revach, and the profits from that, shiala le'erech mois elu le'acha nikayin kol atzois, and the profits that'll come from that business after we net out all of the expenses, should be split evenly between myself and Reuven. And so too, if Chalila there's a loss, so then also the loss will be split evenly. And immediately when it comes Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I have to return to Reuven the principal plus the profits. And I will not be believed to say that there was a loss, unless I can prove it through two kosher witnesses. When it comes to the profits, I will not be believed as to how much I profited unless I do a shvua. However, we've made an agreement amongst us. If I will give to Reuven on Rosh Chodesh in lieu of his principal and in lieu of his interest, I'll give him 500 measures of schnapps. So then he will not request anything else from me, He will not request any more money for the balance of the profits, and he will not ask me to make any shvuas. He won't ask me to bring any edim. That'll be the payoff fee to buy him out, buy myself out of bringing the burden of proof via shvuah or edim. And I get to keep the extra profit. So again, over here, the purpose was not to lend money. The purpose was to be able to get the measures of spirit a few months later, regardless of what the price would be, and this is the way to set that up. And the holder of this shtar will be believed for all matters, even after the loan is paid off. I received a wage for doing the work. Shimon Blumenthal. Ungva Yud Aleph Tishrei Tavrei Shlamet Aleph. Befenenu Edim, signed witnesses, Levi Bluestein and Yehuda Levi Tal. It should be noted that a Heta Iska can be drafted for almost every type of transaction. So whenever there's a Ribbis issue, again, there are exceptions, but most commonly, there's always a solution with a Heta Iska, and the Heta Iska can be designed for any type of transaction. However, it must be kept in mind as well that it's not a one-size-fit-all deal. If you're doing a standard simple loan, so then that's something you could find a Heta Iska for in many Sfarim. But when you're dealing with structures that have a little bit of a twist or unique structures, so the Heta Iska has to be designed specifically for the purpose that it's being used for. You can't just take out a general Heta Iska from some digest on the laws of Ribbis and apply it to, say, a mortgage loan that you're getting from a Jewish mortgage banking company. There are various issues that have to be covered in the Heta Iska, and the only way to design a Heta Iska properly is that the person writing the Heta Iska has to understand the inner workings of the business and all aspects and facets of the transaction. Just to give a common example, if let's say someone's taking a mortgage and they will pay points. If they want a lower interest rate, they'll pay, let's say, a 1% fee of the loan up front. So instead of getting, say, $100,000, if you pay a 1-point fee, that means they'll give you $99,000, and 1% is deducted as a fee. So that's something that the Heta Iska has to address specifically. It'll not be covered in the general language in any Heta Iskas that we just read today and yesterday. It's something that has to be covered specially. Why? Because, again, what's the whole basis of the Heta Iska is that you're taking the money and you're going to be investing it and making a profit. But if they take the fee or up front, so you're paying a 1% fee, well, how could you have profited from that business yet? You just got the money right now, this second at the table. How could you be paying a fee in that same second, which represents a portion of the profits, if there was no chance for any profit yet? So the Heta Iskas have a way to go around that, which is basically saying that this fee that you're giving is towards the profits, if there should be any. But since we don't know if there are any profits yet, so now it's going to reduce the principal. And then later on, if indeed there were profits, then that'll be deducted, or usually in the case when the person will say, okay, I'll just pay the percentage to avoid the burden of proof, then that 1% fee becomes part of the schar pshara, part of the fee that is being paid to release yourself from the burden of proof. But it has to be something that's taken care of in the Heta Iska, otherwise there would still be an issue of ribbis in such a case. Siftes. Am anaisin loitze sham akabo yitin loishtar choiv. If the investor wants that the receiver of the funds, the borrower in most cases, should give him a legal promissory note that it doesn't have all of these conditions, it's just a straight IOU note, kachayka medina, which is enforceable in the secular courts, so that if the person who's receiving the funds, if he decides not to pay, or if he dies, Yehelo Nekel Agavis Moisa Baidea Akois, so then he'll be able to quickly go and retrieve that money through the legal court system, and he won't have to deal with them figuring out this whole Heta Iska thing. El Shaba Alpeh, Himasnim Shemois Elohim Batais Iska, just that verbally they're going to agree that these monies were done according to Heta Iska. Loi Mahani. That doesn't help, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. V'afilu mashtar eino ela al keren levad. Even if the shtar that's being given is just for the principal and doesn't include any interest, the kaven shanoisin yochel agavis kol amois b'shtar chayv shebiyodai, since the giver, the one who is the investor, is able to recoup his entire principal amount with this shtar chayv that's in his hands. I feel him yeah hefsid barer, even if there'll be a clear hefsid, in which case that he has to share part of the loss, as we said, and here he has the opportunity and ability to take the whole thing and retrieve it and not suffer any loss. Usa, so that's usa. I feel him a makabel mamin la'naisin who adam chassid, even if the person who is the receiver of the funds, he believes the investor that he is a straight person and he would never take the funds away using this document that he has and use it in a fraudulent way so that he'll retrieve all his money back even if there was a loss. Nikom Malkim Lemahani, according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, this doesn't help. And even if the receiver of the funds, he gives the investor a shtar iska that says there very clearly that the monies referenced in that legal note are funds that are really according to iska. Gam kein loy mahani, that also doesn't work, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The ikel amechush, because we have to be worried, shema hanoisin o yoshav yalimu achrei kachas ashtar iska v'yugvu b'shtar chayv. Because maybe the investor or his yoshim, if he should pass away, they'll hide the het the iska, and they'll try to recoup the whole loss. So the only way around this, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, is that this het iska has to be held by a third party, or that the giver himself, the investor himself, signs on the het iska as well, and the receiver will hold a copy of the signed het iska that was signed by the investor. Or if on the promissory note itself, the second promissory note, it'll clearly state that this note is subject to the terms of the shtar iska. Or at least, as a minimum, they should have edim, have witnesses that will be able to testify that this note was really not a regular straight note of a borrowing. It was really part of the heta iska and subject to the heta iska terms, in which case the investor can potentially suffer a loss. In all these fashions, I feel him nichlos b'shtar chayv. I can in my revach, even if that legal note will give the principal plus the interest amount, it'll combine them together and show the larger amount. Shapi dami, that's still okay because we have clear proof that should the investor or his yorshim decide to go and recoup the full amount and not abide by the terms of heta iska, there's proof either by the signature of the investor or by witnesses that indeed that was not a valid note and it's dependent and subject to the terms of the heta iska. Now, well, lechatchila, a lot of paiskim advise that the investor also signs the het iska and leaves a copy with the borrower, so to avoid this issue. However, there are many people who are makel that as long as the lender, the investor, as long as he is believed to be a trustworthy person and will abide by the terms of het iska, he's showing a Shabbos Yid who seems to be upstanding in the terms of his keeping of the halachas. So then, there are many that are makel to allow the dual note, meaning to have the secular note also as a backup in case the investor has to go retrieve the money in the legal secular court system. However, it's clearly, everyone understands that it's bound by the terms of the Heta Iska, and one would have to go to Beis Din if they had a claim with the Heta Iska. However, certainly if someone is dealing with somebody who's not one who has a chazaka that he will keep by the terms of the heta iska, and he goes, let's say, to a a secular Jew to borrow money, and he says, "But I can't borrow the money unless we do a het iska." And the secular Jew says, "Fine, well, we can do that." And they sign a het iska, and the secular Jew holds all the paperwork. So obviously, that's something which is worthless because it's really not assumed that he will buy by the het iska. If the borrower comes and tells the secular Jew, "I'm sorry, but there was a loss, and now you split half the loss with me." It's very remote that the secular Jew will want to go through and abide by that. He'll just use the documents that he has, which are secularly enforceable, and get his full money back. So in which case, there really was no iska here. If there was no iska going on, so then certainly the transaction would be one of ribbis. So they had, many years ago, there was a big scandal in one of the Israeli banks, where they used to lend money for people who wanted to buy stocks, and then the person would play the stock market, and he'd win or make or lose money. And so what happened was, a certain individual borrowed a large sum to buy a certain stock, and not only did the bank lend him money, but the bank also had an arm that was a brokerage arm. So the bank was actually the one who bought the stock on his behalf, and they held it as collateral. And some time went by, and unfortunately, he lost a fortune of money, and the bank sold the stock on his behalf, and so there was a tremendous loss. So the borrowers tell the bank, we lost a fortune of money, and you're a half partner, so I'm not going to repay you the full amount that I borrowed. You have to suffer half the loss, as according to the terms of the het iska. The bank said, we have to make a shvur, you have to bring Edim. And the borrower had a great taina. He said, "Oh no, I don't have to do any of that. You only have to bring a shvur Edim. That's only if the investor had no idea whether you made or lost money. But over here, you bought the stock on my behalf and you sold it on my behalf. You saw exactly what it was paid for it, and you saw exactly what it was sold for. So you know exactly what the loss was. So there's no need or point in a shvur Edim. I'm sorry, but you have to split the loss with me. So rather than paying you back full, I'm paying you only a portion, so to subtract the portion that's a loss that your side has to bear." Well, the Israeli bank, which was secular, was not happy with that, and they said, "Well, the het iska, that was really just more of a religious ceremonial type of thing. We're going to the court system in Israel to retrieve all our money according to the documents." At which case, the rabbanim said, "Well, we all gave them the benefit of doubt for some reason that they were going to abide by the het iska, and therefore it was a real het iska. But if now they're showing that they're intent was really not the ones one of had to iska, it's just a straight loan, so then that would be a problem of ribbis." So everyone who wants to keep the lachas of ribbis, remove your deposits from that bank and don't borrow from that bank, in which case, as after run began on the bank, they quickly made an about face, and they made the terms that have the het iska binding in the secular court system as well, so that they could be assured that the het iska was really something that was meant to be kept and will be kept, and not just lip service that, in which case, wouldn't have any value in terms of halacha, in terms of saving the borrowers or the lenders from a problem of ribbis. Sif Yud. Shtar iska loy mahani lahatir eli im ha'emes kein hu shunaitel samois lasis ben eza esik. The het iska only works if, truthfully, the monies were taken for a business purpose to invest, in which case then there could be profits. And now you're paying money to avoid your burden of proof to show that there was, how much the profit was or if there was a loss. However, if the monies are not going to be used for a business purpose that can produce profits, it's just used to pay off some debt that you have, so then the shtar iska does not help, because it's false. There is no business purpose here. If you use it to make a chasana for a child, and the money's all spent on the caterer and the band, that there's no profits could be produced from that. However, you can't do it in this fashion. Let's say Reuven needs money. And he has some merchandise, even in a different area, city. He could sell that merchandise to Shimon for an extremely low price. Ubetanai shabrei b'yad Ruvain shim loyim simenu idei shimon adyoim pliny itain la ba'ada kach v'kach. With the condition that if Ruvain does not give him the Shimon the Schaira by a certain date, so then he'll buy back the Schaira for a certain amount. Shil Shimon Rav Karui, so Shimon will have a reasonable profit. The Shimon Yitain LeRuvain as some mois, and Shimon will give the money to Ruvain. Yasu Kinyan Sudan, they'll make a Kinyan on the Schaira, Lekaima Mekach, so that the merchandise is indeed considered halachically transferred. What's the Kenyan Siddha? That Shimon, the buyer, will give part of his piece of clothing to Reuven, Shitfei, but he'll hold on to it, and that will affect the legal transfer of the merchandise. And in that way, he's acquiring the Schayer of Reuven. Even if they're not Edom watching this, they could do it amongst the two of them. The Schayer will be in the achrayus of Shimon the buyer in case anything should go wrong with it, or it should be lost or stolen. That would be Shimon's loss. There are poskim that take issue with this last heter of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and require additional requirements. So one should not use this heter without further instruction from a poskim. Sif Yud Aleph. V'chein Ruvain as well, shayachayiv l'Shimon Mois, that owed Shimon money, v'agiyah z'man ha'piroin ein lo'y Mois l'Ruvain, and now, when it comes the due date of the loan, Ruvain does not have the money to pay. V'spashu sh'Shimon yamtin lo'ez z'man, and they made a deal that Shimon will give him a little extra time. V'zeh gam kein ein takana b'shtay iska. This too, a shtay iska would not be of assistance, because to pay off the loan is not considered an iska in usual cases. Ella, rather, Ruvain yimkol l'Shimon eiz eschayra. Ruvain should sell Shimon some type of merchandise. Sheisha b'ayfen in this case, in the way mentioned earlier, and as we said, there are some people who argue on doing it in that fashion, and there might be some additional steps that have to be taken. L'Shimon yachzol eiz eschayra, and then Shimon would give him back the promissory note, shehayo lo yalav mikvah, that he had earlier. Ruvain yitain lo yishtah al eschayra, shekona mitoy b'ayfen in this case. Then Ruvain will give a new note on the schayer that was bought in the same way that was mentioned earlier in the last sif. Sif Yud Beis. Yisrael shenaisim lechaveru behema legadla. If one yid gives another yid an animal so that the second yid should raise and grow the animal, v'shiachalka achreikach berevach, and then they'll split the profits because the animal will be sold as a much bigger, larger, older animal. That halach is similar to someone who gives their money with the terms of Heta Iska. One more important thing to point out when it comes to Heta Iska is, as we said earlier, that just as if someone will not abide by the terms of Heta Iska, giving him those documents and him not using them and hiding them when it comes time to take a loss, that wouldn't help, because there has to be some business, and there has to be an ability for the lender to lose the money. A similar thing also is if someone's borrowing money on Heta Iska, you can't sign a personal guarantee for the money because of the same issue. If the person is guaranteeing the loss, let's say his company is borrowing money and he's signing as a personal guarantor, so that would be in conflict with Heta Iska, because how could he guarantee the money of the full loan amount? He should only be guaranteeing whatever the net amount is of the ISCA at the end. So one has to take that into consideration as well. Kol Tov.